we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Thursday, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5. We really appreciate you making Christian radio a priority in your life. My name is Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, 165 North Grove Street. We would love for you to come and worship with us and be a part of what God is doing in our congregation. So thank you for tuning in and allowing the Word of God to reach into your life and hopefully make positive impact. So we're going to go back today to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're really excited about some things that God is doing and has in store for us in 2016. When I say really excited, I mean really, really excited. We'll be sharing more of those details with you here in the days to come. But let's start reading at verse number 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 today. It says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." So in this passage, we've already been talking about the quantity of seed that you sow. Now we are going to look at the decision process, the reason, the motivation behind that giving. And it says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart." So I am not one that goes and looks and sees what people are giving. I've heard a lot of interesting things in 3 decades or going on 4 decades in the ministry. I've heard about churches that send their congregants bills and all of that. Let me tell you what I have found. I have found that the Holy Spirit working in people's hearts is way more effective than if I try and force them to do something. When I was in retail sales, they were constantly getting me to try and get customers to buy more shoes than what they came in and looked for. And you know, sometimes you could find a shoe and it worked really good for them, and then they would want more of those things, and that was all fine, well, and good. But what I always wanted to do was I wanted the customer, the needs that they had in their life, I wanted those to be met. I wanted them going out thankful that they had found what they needed rather than going out regretting that they had purchased something. My wife went with me. We've had this discussion, so when I tell you about this on the radio, it's not going to be any surprise. But I went out to buy a particular item here a couple of years ago. It's not a clothing item. By the way, I don't pick out my clothing items without my wife's approval. She's got way better fashion taste than I do. So I went out and I was just going out to buy this one item. And when we got there, we found the item. And by the way, people tell me that particular item looks better on me than any other thing that I've got. And most of those other things came from Goodwill or you know, either that or they're aged a little bit. But so my wife helped me pick out this outfit. And it looks good. It's got the wrong numbers on the inside of it. The pant size is got the wrong waist size on it. I'm pretty confident, because I'm sure that that number is inaccurate. But anyway, we got that, and then the salesman started talking, and before you know it, we're walking out of there with four additional items, and of those four additional items, two of them were relatively good. You know, they were supposedly buy one get one free, which meant that the price was doubled than what I would normally pay. But we were out there, and I got home, and two of the items were, I do utilize those from time to time, but there were two other items, and they were absolutely some of the worst items that I've ever purchased. And in fact, now I utilize those perfectly good items. I use those if I'm around a lot of chemicals. I use them as work shirts is what I do. But what happened was I walked out of there with things that I didn't walk in there for on purpose. And when I was in the shoe industry, I tried to make sure that people didn't walk out with things that they didn't want, because here's what happened. They ended up returning them at a time that was inconvenient for me, and it ended up negatively impacting my paycheck at that point in time. So here, I want you to know that I'm not here to try and compel anyone to give. I'm here to impart the word of truth, but I would like for the Holy Spirit to work in people's hearts, and so allow them the option of saying, what is it that God is telling me to give? I will tell you this, that from the Old Testament to the New Testament, where the law gave way to grace and truth in the New Testament, that the standard wasn't lowered, the standard was actually raised. I believe that God owns everything I have, and therefore I am just a steward of God's property, and so whatever he wants, that's what I'm going to give. Here in a few weeks, we will be having our annual missions convention, and we will ask people at that time, pray. You know, we want them to pray and hear from God what the Holy Spirit is saying to them, and asking them if he would have them partner with us in our local, domestic, and global missions initiatives. And you know what? When they turn those forms in, let me tell you what the process is. We have them fill out a card, and we have them put a number on there. We don't even have their name on there. And we ask them, you know, put on there what you believe that the Holy Spirit is going to enable you to accomplish. And it is a faith promise. It is not a pledge. A pledge is something that you make to, like, the March of Dimes or the Muscular Dystrophy Telethon or whatever. I don't think they have that anymore. But then they're going to send you that. They're going to want you to send that money in. With a faith promise, when those people put that item, or when they put that total down, we add everything up. We share with the congregation the total that God has laid upon people's hearts. And we celebrate, and we are thankful. And then we let that be between the people and God. We don't know who made faith promises for what amount or anything like that. And here's what we have found. God is faithful. When he has birthed it in people's hearts, then they have discovered the joy of giving. And so we do that on a weekly basis. So every week, I write out my tithe check and my missions giving, because it's not something that I've got to do. It's something that I get to do. It is a challenge to believe God to bring that to pass. And here's what I found. In November of this last year, I went to my bookkeeper and I said, would you run a report on my personal financial giving? I don't do this with anybody else. I said, I would like for you to run a report on our personal financial giving, because I would like to see where I am at with my missions pledge. And I was really excited, because I wasn't behind. I was actually ahead in my missions giving. And so we know that when God births it in somebody's heart, that there's going to be follow through, and it's going to cause people to believe God for even greater things the next year. So I believe it was an executive for Arby's, a restaurant chain, some years back, that his approach to tithing was this, that when he got to the end of the year, he would start praying, and he felt like the Holy Spirit would ask him and say this: what kind of income would you like next year? And you know, he would come up with a figure, and he would start tithing on that potential income. It wasn't money that he already had. And guess what? He continued to see God come through over and over and over again. I do declare that you cannot outgive God, that God is looking for you to have that remembrance, or that mindset of giving is something that God births inside of you, rather than something that man burdens you with. I'm not here to put a guilt trip on anybody. I just want you to know that when you give to God. And in the Old Testament, the NIV had a footnote that said this: as given irrevocably unto God. And so those things that I commit unto him, I'm not going to ask for them back. I'm going to entrust them into his hands, knowing that he is able to do more with that than I can. But it also says that we've got to have the right mindset. We've got to have the right attitude. And it says, not grudgingly or of necessity. Not grudgingly or of necessity. You know, there are bills that when I sit down to write them, I do so with lament. It's like, oh, I really can't wait. You know, I, in fact, I was talking to one of our visitors on Sunday, and I was sharing a testimony of how God had delivered our church from debt. And she said, have you heard of what happens on the Dave Ramsey show when a church calls in and they declare that they have been free, that they have become free from debt? And it's like, no, I haven't. And she said, well, they all begin to shout, you know, in the background, we're debt free. And I've heard of mortgage burning, you know, churches having mortgage burning ceremonies and all of that sort of stuff. And I'm telling you that God is not looking for us to have a bill mindset when it comes to giving unto his kingdom, but instead that we are giving with a cheerful heart, a jubilant heart, that it is a privilege and a thrill to give. I remember one time being in a revival and not having the money to be able to give what I wanted to give. And that episode is probably 30 some years ago. Well, it is. It's probably 40 years ago now. I remember being there, and it is close to 40 years ago, and not having the money to be able to give. I mean, now I was a teenager at the time, so my level of income was not very high at all. But it, you know, what I wanted to give was $20. That's what I wanted to give. I wanted to give $20, and I didn't have $20. And so, you know, I remember what it was like not being able to do that. But I can tell you that what I have discovered since then is that whenever God births giving upon my heart, that I can do it. And I don't do it as a milestone or a flashing billboard, look what Bob did, or anything like that. A lot of times I do it simply because God says to do it, and it doesn't even register on my memory scale. But I will hear later from people, they said, you will never know what you did. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, because I don't even remember it. I give it to God. I'm just so thankful that God is able to take whatever we give, and he is, listen to what it says, verse number 18, able to make all grace abound towards you. That word grace means the favor of God. It is favor that we did not earn. In other words, my gift does not set me up for greater favor with God. It just demonstrates to God that I'm going to be faithful with whatever he entrusts it to me with. So I don't get special merit points. All I do is demonstrate faithfulness. In the NIV, it says, to the faithful, God shows himself faithful. And that's what I want to see. I wake up every morning and I expect to see the faithfulness of God. When the sun, comes up in the east, that is a demonstration of the faithfulness of God, because in the Word of God, it says, if you can break my covenant with the sun and with the moon, then you can believe that I will break my covenant with you. But when I see the sun where it is supposed to be, and at night when I see the moon going down where it is supposed to be, then I can go to bed with this confidence: God is still keeping his covenant with me as well as his creation. But what it says is that sowing and reaping is an act that is birthed with the mindset that God is faithful to take care of our needs. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen those animals that store up food in their cheeks. Right now, my daughter has a dog that whenever she gets a treat, she goes off and buries it and hides it someplace. Now, sometimes that could be outside. Sometimes it could be in a blanket. Sometimes you could find it in a bed or whatever. But she buries it because she doesn't know. She wants to make sure that she's going to be able to find that treat at a later time, and that she's the only one that knows where it is at. People who are living tight-fisted, if you will, instead of open-handed, are living as if God's faithfulness is going to fail at any moment. And I want to share with you today that God is bigger than that. He is more faithful than that. And he will cause all grace to abound to you. Now, here's what I want to share with you. No person plants one seed expecting to get back one seed back in return. No, and God doesn't entrust you with one gift expecting to get one gift in return. His kingdom is a kingdom of increase. Satan has a kingdom of stealing, of decrease, of destruction. God has a kingdom that is about abundance, that is about exponential blessing coming your way. And it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So what happens here, Paul was talking to them about their ministry. Remember the zeal that they had to minister to the saints, the willingness that they had. And he said, as you follow through on that, you are going to find out that what God is pouring into you is greater than what you let go of. What came your way from heaven is greater than what you released. And so that's what I always encourage people, is make sure that things do not have a hold of you. Make sure that your grip on things that are earthly and temporary, that it is of such that you can release it unto God at any given point in time. I think I've told this story before about a fisherman who was out fishing, and as is going to happen, his lure got hung up in the trees, and he went over to retrieve it because it was his favorite lure. And rather than just cutting the line and going to the store and buying another lure, Instead, he kept pressing and kept extending and kept stretching and reaching for it until he finally grabbed hold of it. But in doing so, he lost his balance, fell in, and actually died in the process. And when they found him, he had his favorite lure, but it had cost him his life. I want to be able to trust God. And so as I sow, I know that God is going to cause an abundant harvest to come our way. It says he is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse number 10 is a blessing. It says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us for God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. So let's take a look at that. It says here that God supplies two things. He supplies the seed to sow, and he supplies the bread to eat. You want to make sure that you keep those two things where they're supposed to be, the seed and the bread. Now, I will tell you that what farmers have found is that it is best for their future harvest if the seed that they plant is their best seed. Their best seed results in future harvests that are better than what they've experienced before. So please do not eat your seed. But I also want to tell you that that God provides more for the food aspect. He provides more increase so that there is more food available than he does for the seed. So God is a balanced supplier. He supplies all of the seed that you need that is going to result in all of the bread or all of the food or all of the income that you are going to need. God is abundant. I remember when my wife and I first got married, what a challenge it was to believe that the two of us combined were going to be able to generate enough income to pay for our bills. My student loan payment was $64.19. Hers was a little bit higher. Hers was like $90. That was the two student loans combined. And I remember it was tough. And then, you know, families start growing and I'm telling you, the price of diapers a few years ago, we had a baby shower for someone who was having a child, and my wife said, oh, just go down and buy some diapers. And talk about an eye-opening experience. It was something else, because I remembered what I paid when I was buying diapers, but thank God it had been a long time since we had to buy them. And it was an eye-opening experience. Things have increased, but you know what has happened? As well as the prices increase, my faith in God has increased, and I believe that he can do that for you. When you discover that he is faithful in the small things, you will be able to believe that he is faithful in the big things as well. There are some people that they believe that, you know, well, if I hit the lottery, if I, you know, have this large inheritance, when I get all of my needs taken care of, that's when I'm going to be able to start sowing. And I want you to know that you will never reach that point, because if you do not generate the heart of giving and you do not allow the Holy Spirit to generate that heart in you, then you will never take that step. It will not matter the amount of money in your bank account. It takes a God transformation inside of you. And the best way to do that is say, God, what would you have me to give right now? So I don't worry about people's giving. We started this radio program, and we did so not knowing whether we would be able, or how long we would be able to continue this radio program. And in all honesty, there was a time where we had been doing it for about 6 months, and our resources were going south in a hurry. And we actually had discussions, should we continue the radio program or should we not? And there were some discussions in the board, and there were some people that's in the church that said, you know what, we believe in the radio program, and we believe that people are going to get saved in the radio program, and we want to see that continue, and so we say, let's continue to do it for as long as we can do it. And praise God that we have been on the air now for a little bit over 2 years. Are we rolling in resources? No, but you know what we're doing on this program? We are sowing seeds. We are sowing seeds into your life, sowing seeds of the Word of God. We expect a harvest. And here's the great thing about the harvest is I'm not expecting all of the harvest to be ours. I'm expecting the harvest to be the Lord of the harvest. If you think about Johnny Appleseed, Johnny Appleseed supposedly just went through and he started planting seeds all over the place. And there's a whole bunch of people today that are enjoying harvest from seeds that were sown a long time ago. So I pray that whatever is happening, that you will recognize that God is providing that. And he will multiply. Look at what it says. He will multiply the seed that you have sown. I like that. He will multiply the seed that you have sown. Now, there's a process that takes place. First of all, it's got to be in the right soil. Not just any soil will do. My wife and I, we had an air fern one time. We discovered that you do not water an air fern. Guess what happened? We killed an air fern. If you want to talk about horticulture, you are talking to the wrong guy. You need to tune into a different radio station and find out on Saturday morning how to get your crops to grow. But I can tell you this, when it comes to spirit realm, when it comes to the things of God and the faithfulness of God, I know that what it's like to plant in good soil, and we have seen God multiply the seed. He is not in the taking business. He is in the blessing business. God loves a cheerful giver. We're going to have to stop right there for today, and we'll pick up on tomorrow's broadcast. But I pray that you allow God to speak to your heart and challenge you to believe him for greater things. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.